To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What did they say? I missed it.
Jacob said it looked like Nick was going to die again. I believe.
Yeah, if the choking didn't get you, it was the ad read that ended up getting you.
Bonjour, Bob. I did it myself. All right. Five words no one wants to say. JP, the old ladies here was not. That's not friendly fire. All right. We can do better. We will do better. And okay. Maybe. Let's not go too far. But no, yeah, so I think everybody enjoyed the sight of me making myself laugh, which is really all that matters in this life.
That's all that matters. There was a different read that you do that I was hoping it was, but then it didn't end up
that's
being
coming up
one.
The end of this segment.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so if you really just want to pigeonhole me into wasted ad, this is your opportunity here. But John Fanta coming up in just about 20 minutes. Mary-Kate Cabot was on with the Morning Boys today. And actually, she was on with Baskin
Midday
and Phelps.
Boys. Yeah.
And,
Midday Men?
She was, yeah.
Yeah, didn't hate it.
Yeah.
Didn't hate it.
I was like Cleveland sports dads because even around the station, they're the older, wiser gentlemen here. They're esteemed gentlemen.
Isn't everyone but Jake a Cleveland sports dad on the station?
Well, yeah, but we're young Cleveland sports dads.
Okay.
They're established gentlemen. They're esteemed gentlemen. Anyways.
They're closer to being Cleveland sports granddads.
Okay, that's dirty pool.
They are closer to that, though,
right,
than like where we are. I have a three-week-old. It's about as fresh as it gets.
Three-week-day-old? That's a callback.
If you get it, you get it.
But Mary-Kate Cabot was on with the Midday Boys / Men and talked about the possibility of more trades for the Browns.
I think that they will definitely try to make some more deals. I don't think it means that they are ready to sell off their big name players or some of their better players right now. But I think Andrew will call every single team or talk to every single team like he pretty much does around this time of year. And there probably will be some more trades made. Again, I don't think that means they're going to trade away I don't think they intend to trade away a David Njoku. That's not in the plans right now, but it wasn't in the plans to trade away Joe Flacco or Greg Newsom either. So if someone shows up on your doorstep or on your phone with a good enough offer, you're going to at least listen to it. So anything can probably happen.
Why is it always everyone showing up on our doorstep?
Because they know Andrew Berry's got a reputation.
No, but it makes it seem as if like the Browns will never themselves call up and try to get rid of these guys. It's only whatever happens when they're like, oh, we didn't see that coming. We got a phone call from this team, and when that team calls, you must answer. Like as if the Browns have never once called up a team and said, hey, we're shopping David Njoku. What can we get for him?
I think the reason being is they still want to – I think the Browns are very conscientious of they might be sellers, but they don't want the locker room to know they're sellers. Now, again, you and I both know the locker room is smarter than that, but I understand the framing of this of we had no intention of trading either player, and we just got – surprised by it, had to do it, couldn't do without it. And I think that's what it comes down to.
By the way, it took him a week or so, but now the new narrative with Joe Flacco has been what you predicted would happen initially. They just didn't want to do it because you talked about it, I feel like. And now all of a sudden it's like, well, we had to do right by Joe. We had to do right by Joe. Yep. It's like, okay, so now we just waited a week until we could just put that one out there that way?
I will say something the Browns are very keenly aware of is if your first narrative doesn't work, move to the second one. If that one doesn't work, just keep going. eventually he'll get something to take. I have seen more Browns fans on the, well, they did right by Joe Flacco train after the latest kind of narrative spin here.
It's what started to happen, and it feels like it's the messaging that is happening right now. But yeah, no, I feel like everyone's on the table for the Browns from a, like, any name you've heard. I mean, like, guys like Shelby Harris are as good as gone, but like when we're talking about Njoku, we're talking about any of the offensive linemen. And I don't know what would change in the other direction. Even if you start getting a couple wins, like, you should beat Miami this week, Nick. You should. But beating Miami shouldn't change your thought process on this at all. You're already headed to where you're headed.
Yeah, and I think where you're headed is not a definitive 4-13, 3-14. Where you're headed is you need a quarterback. And to get a quarterback, you need assets. And so anything that gets you an asset of measure, even if it's Shelby Harris to Team X with a 7th rounder that becomes a 5th rounder. Yes, that's another asset that you can use in the top 150, the top 160 to help potentially get your quarterback. That's why, like, when we talked about Shador earlier, where it was like, okay, if I'm going to trade Shador before he ever steps on the field for the Cleveland Browns, it's got to be something. It's got to be a top 100 pick. Certainly, it's got to be a top 64 pick. If I'm gonna make, but to me, the read on this is everybody but Miles is available. Just name your price.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to figure out if there it really is somebody that isn't available. You mentioned Denzel Ward a couple days ago. Like, is Denzel Ward really unavailable?
No, shouldn't be.
You know, like, I'm trying to think, like, our best players. And if you're in the acquiring assets part of this all, there really shouldn't be any names that you throw out there that you just think to yourself, they can't even entertain that. And that's honestly, it's an exciting part of this season and this part of where we're at, but also a scary part for fans as well.
Well, so listen, I'm not itching to trade Denzel. If somebody comes along with a Jalen Ramsey trade, it's a conversation. That's the same thing. I'm not itching to trade Shador. Somebody comes along with a 2nd or 3rd round pick or a 3rd round pick and another piece, it's a real conversation.
I think that might be why they keep phrasing it as if somebody calls us. Because usually if you're calling a team, then you're not going to end up with the 2 first-round picks that you desire in like a Jalen Ramsey type trade, because you then are the team that is acting out of somewhat desperation. You know, you never get as much when you're the team that calls, but they're just sitting back and waiting. And it's interesting to me how it's at the behest of whatever team then calls and inquires.
And this is why it's another smart approach. The Browns are one of the few definitive sellers in the NFL with pieces that would entice people. Wyatt Teller, although I'd be mad if you traded him, Wyatt Teller would entice people. I think Denzel Ward would entice people. I don't really know what David Njoku's value is, but David Njoku is a valuable piece that somebody will give something of quality for, even if it's quote-unquote just a 4th-round pick. So then, from the Browns thing, like, that's why I wasn't really moved by the Joe Flacco thing. I was like, okay, you pick swapped a 6 for a 5. That's not like holy crap value. David Njoku for a 3rd or 4th round at his age, knowing he's going to be a free agent, it kind of is that kind of value.
How much can you strip down this offense that right now is already dead last in points scored this season?
As much as you need to.
I mean, I'm in that process. I think I'm sure fans are in that process as well. It's going to be interesting to see how far they go, because it really can't. If you're trying to, like, protect the offensive line, can it really get much worse than what it's been? Can it really get much worse than what you've seen offensively? Because there's a bunch of statistics that would argue that it doesn't get much worse than what they've currently already done.
Well, the other thing with this is opening up Posick. If you were to move Posick, that allows you to put Whipler in there for for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I think trading Wyatt Teller would be colossally stupid. But hypothetically, Zach Zinter then goes in there and you get to see him at that side. And yes, a half season of play from any of your young offensive linemen should be enough to gauge whether they're going to be key pieces next year or just reserve guys or bench guys.
How much of a wheeling and dealing mentality are we going to have from this Browns team?
I mean, if Andrew Berry is truly safe, if Andrew Berry is truly beyond reproach, I would imagine considerable, right?
Well, that's why it's important that Haslam stays with that messaging, even if he doesn't believe it. Like in closed doors, you're telling him you're the guy long term, because you have to make sure he acts within the good interest of that. Because the moment he starts to sniff out and feel like he's got to get wins or he's got to make this look better than he does, he'll hold on to those guys.
216-474-0092. Should two more losses or should any outcome over the next couple of weeks change the Browns' deadline approach? I think the farther you get into seeing how broken this offense is and how much you truly need to fix it, a la, even if you hit on the quarterback, like, you're still going to need some pieces around them. I think you gotta start making calculated decisions based off what you're getting in. If you trade Wyatt at all cost, it'll be, to me, at your own detriment. If you were to trade Denzel, at your own, like, that's another detrimental thing. But most pieces, it's like, Shelby's a good rotational defensive lineman. That makes sense. And by the way, we should clear this up. Bonjour Bob was asking about, basically saying that Quinshon Judkins untouchable. Yeah, any of the rookies are untouchable. Yeah. Even a guy like Alex Wright. No, just give him some money, bring him back, and see what he can develop into, because he's having a really nice season.
Yeah, no, we're not. There's certain people that just doesn't make any sense to touch and move that way. I don't think anyone would argue that. I'm curious to know how far they go. If it was me, I'd go to the, not to the extremes, but like, there's a lot of players I'd be willing to open up and trade.
I think it's simple as, are you here in the next 3 years or not? Because if you're not here 3 years from now, and oh, by the other caveat of this, and it's not going to wreck the cap in making that trade, then make the trade. Because here's the thing, if a team's desperate enough, you might be able to get a fourth round pick and for them to eat some of Njoku's money. That opens up more money to kick to the future. Same again, I wouldn't trade Denzel, but if you look at this and go, well, we already have to pay MJ Emerson next offseason, we can get a whole host of assets for Denzel, and then MJ Emerson and Tyson Campbell become our starting corners. I can understand that philosophy, even if I don't love that philosophy.
Yeah, there's a lot more pieces that I feel like are valuable than maybe people even want to acknowledge. I mean, we haven't even brought up like a Jerry Jeudy type trade or something like that. Like, there's a lot of different guys that we hadn't thought of in a high level situation, and I don't know. I'm excited to see what they do with it. If what they did with the first 6 weeks of the season are any indication, they're like, this season shot to them. They're more than happy to move some of these guys, and I think they will.
Yeah, and it's going to be, I think it'll be telling. I really do. I think there's a huge difference in trading guys at the last year of their deal. Betonio, Teller, Njoku, Jerome Ford, Shelby Harris, and then maybe cutting a little deeper.
Do you like this is what the NFL has kind of turned into? All these trades, all these moves, all these deals. It's way different than when we grew up watching the NFL.
Yes and no. It sucks that my team always has to be the one selling, it feels like. Although that's not entirely true. They have made deadline deals. Not a big deal. But
I know, but like last year, for instance, when they got rid of Za'Darius Smith and Amari Cooper, it did feel like it was blouses when that happened.
Yeah. And I think, again, getting back to the Browns' messaging of how they're handling it, it's another reason why it actually is important that they continue to sell. Hey, we're doing this we're making these moves not for next year, but for now as well. That is honestly why they might be also sending out the messaging. We're going to see how the next couple weeks go try and keep themselves in this thing as much as they can.
Probably think he's pretty good at this because he called Amari Cooper sucking before Amari Cooper even knew he was going to suck. That was a third round deal, and then Amari Cooper, once he got traded, fell off a cliff, and now he's not even in the NFL anymore.
I mean, Amari kind of told you this was going to happen with his holdout and hold in and not having a camp.
Well, I mean, I told you for months, I heard from people around Amari that his knees looked like oatmeal, and he was shot at that point. But again, he was ahead of it. He got third round value for Amari at a time when people thought around the NFL that he could still play the position. That was, when we think about good Andrew Berry decisions, oddly enough, that's going to be one of those that we do put. That's a feather in his cap.
What's the right read on the Browns' deadline approach? We'll talk about that with John Fanta. If the Jets came a calling about Shedeur Sanders, would John Fanta make that trade? And why does the offense stink? John Fanta, NBC Sports, 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. To talk to a man who is a huge Cleveland fan. You know him, you love his work on NBC Sports. He joins us every Tuesday. Today it's at 4:20 on the Fan Hotline. John Fanta, what's up, buddy?
Misery loves company, everybody. Good afternoon.
So if the Jets come a-calling for Shedeur Sanders, are you listening?
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Yes. I mean, I would listen to the phone call. I would probably start the phone call by saying, really? Really? But the Jets are not going to call on Shedeur Sanders because, like, this world of hypotheticals, and I'm all for guys, and when I get it, when you got a football team that's 1-5 in Cleveland and a football team that's 0-6 in New York and looks like a one-and-done coach, like I can get playing around and trying to be creative with talking points, but that's all that this is. And fifth rounder back. I mean, like you said, generous offer. I mean, I'm not doing that because I drafted him. I drafted Shedeur Sanders. Like, you're paying Justin Fields $20 million in 2026. It's on the books, and you're the ones that gave him a 2-year, $40 million contract. So, like, to the Jet fans who are frustrated, also, like, please stop acting as though a different quarterback would do that much better. You know, they've been a hot mess. That November 9th game, I mean, to tell you, that game should be flexed into, you know, a Super Bowl time slot in at MetLife Stadium between the Browns and Jets. So I'm listening. I'm probably laughing on the other end of the phone, but no, I'm not trading Shedeur Sanders because Shedeur Sanders is going to get a shot. You know, if you thought it was going to come by now, then you haven't been paying attention. But there's 18 weeks in a National Football League season. He's going to get a shot here at some point. I don't know when that's going to be, but it's going to happen because it's Cleveland Browns, and we've gone through quarterbacks. You know, we've gone through quarterbacks like Nick Wilson, and I can go through a night out and have some chicken wings. Like, it's going to happen. So it's week 6. And going into week 7, like, come on, please.
Burgers were right there on the table, and you went chicken wings.
Yeah,
that just you didn't want to bring up the idea that you had a lot of belief in this team before the season got underway, John, and it's not going very well. And I understand that. I get that. I don't even blame the optimism. I appreciate the optimism that you had.
I appreciate the burger.
Everyone can appreciate everything. But the point is that when you look at Dylan Gabriel, you said that Shedeur is going to play at some point this season. When you're thinking about Dylan and how you looked in the first 2 weeks, are we going to see that point sooner rather than later? Will this be a Joe Flacco-type scenario where all it takes is 4 games before the Browns say, okay, uncle, we've seen enough, or will we get a longer runway than that?
I think he'll get a longer runway than that, JP and Nick. But then again, you know, we could say what we think. Clearly, they don't have much of a plan. because if they did, it wouldn't have been handled the way that this has been handled. I mean, this is a sign of a breakup. You know, the coach and the general manager, for the first time publicly, don't seem to be on the same page, or are not on the same page, because Mike Tomlin comes out with those remarks about Joe Flacco. That signals to me that Mike Tomlin sees something and he feels as though he wants to go to bat for his guy, Kevin Stefanski. No matter what you say about the Browns and their missed decisions and stuff and the errors that they've made, one thing that you could say is they seem to be in lockstep. You know, you saw the video of Stefanski and Barry after the win over the Packers. That emotion, that reaction, it did say something about these two guys know that they're kind of tied at the hip. They're in this thing together. Well, now, you know, the Flacco thing happens. Stefanski's starting to crack a little bit. Like, you could just sense it, if not a lot of it, by his standards. That being said, I think it's going to be longer than just a couple of weeks, because I think Dylan Gabriel will play better. Like, I do think this Sunday, Dylan Gabriel's got to play better. I mean, it's not as if he follows some long line of Browns quarterbacks who have found rich success in Pittsburgh, nor alone a long line of rookie quarterbacks who have found success against a Mike Tomlin coach team, nor alone in Pittsburgh. But I think that this game this Sunday is it does feel as though, like, if there's any sort of gut left in this football team, if there's any, and I don't think that there is, I'm not suggesting there is. I don't think that there is. But if there's anything left in the tank, then you have to think that they try to exhaust it on Sunday. The weather conditions look like it could be favorable to the Browns, could be their type of game, could be the defense's type of game. We're going to find out. We're going to see what's left in the tank. I mean, you'd imagine not much. They were never winning on Sunday. I know the offense was pedestrian. The weapons are not good. Jerry Jeudy is not a number one or number two receiver in the National Football League anymore. The weapons are not good. They're not conducive for a rookie quarterback. So I I'll treat Shador the same way on this show. If Shador goes out there and fails, like Dylan Gabriel, he has not been good. This is not a setup for success, though. Let's be real. I think it'll be longer, though, than just the next two or three games.
John, looking to Stefanski and Barry, if we put in the totality of the 5+ years, who do you think has done a better job at their individual job? Kevin Stefanski as a head coach or Andrew Barry as a GM?
Kevin Stefanski, because he still made the postseason with Joe Flacco as the quarterback of the team. And he had to set that up and make it work. And he had, I know that Andrew Barry has had some hits, guys, but he's had far, far, far more misses. He's had far more misses. He has not helped Kevin Stefanski a whole lot. And when you looked at, like, up until this rookie class, and we don't even know what this rookie class will bring long term, but when you look at the hit rate on second contracts for Andrew Barry, it is not good. It is not that of a guy who should still be a general manager in the National Football League. So I'm going to vote for Stefanski, and I know JP, I if there's pushback on this, I would welcome it on this one. I know I lost the Steven vote versus Kevin Stefanski debate, and I was really glad to lose that debate, by the way. But if I'm comparing the coach to Andrew Barry, I still will side with the coach, and that actually might be more of a reflection of how poorly I think of Andrew Barry right now. Because I just look at this team. The offensive line is as bad as any in the league. The weapons on the team from a personnel standpoint are either young or don't have the ability to perform at a winning level in the NFL anymore. So the setup's not there. The roster was set up poorly. It was. And yeah, you could blame Deshaun Watson all you want. And I'm starting to get fired up now, and things are going the wrong direction in my reflection here, because at the end of the day, when I look at this football team, there are so many things that I say from a personnel standpoint that say not a playoff team, not even a team that's in the middle of the road. That's a losing player, or that's a player that there's a reason why he's in Cleveland. There's too much of that. There's too much of that, and the demise of this collective roster, it set them not just a year or two back, it set them a while back. The coach has struggled. His message is stale. His scheme is stale. But Andrew Barry has not put a personnel package on the field that many coaches would have much more success with than this.
So the only pushback I would have, and listen, I want you to know where I side on this to begin with. I'd fire them both. Okay, I'd take them both. I'd shoot them off to the moon. I'd be done with both of them.
By the way,
no questions asked.
I agree with that, but that wasn't the question.
Agreed, and I appreciate you answering the question the way that you did because you circled in the Scantron bubble and you chose something, which is nice.
Yep.
That was the point. But in the defense of Andrew Berry, this is the only thing I would say, and I want to see if you agree or not. We all agree that this roster stinks for this season, and this roster has not been set up in a very productive way for Kevin Stefanski. But if that was actually the goal of this season, if the job that Andrew Berry was tasked to do is take that poison pill for this year and set it up in a way where you can position yourself for the draft and position yourself for 2026, I can make an argument. You're not going to like it, but I can make an argument that he's actually performing his job at a higher level than what we've seen previously with Andrew Berry. Because like, there's no way, John, that he looked at the offensive line and the wide receiver room if he was really trying to win games and thought this was good.
But then your argument's proven, JP, by my side's proven by the fact that then, okay, so the general manager set up this team to be this way. Mm-hmm. How is the head coach expected to win football games?
No, but that's why, in theory, that's why I think a lot of people believe, and a lot of people that are in Berea and around these guys believe that because of the situation and the setup, they're not going to end up with their jobs being gone because they weren't given a true chance to even try to win this year. And if Haslam is the decision that matters, and Haslam is the decision maker, and the only person that matters, if he knows this was the directive and he's on board with it, you can come up with a theory where he thinks both of them are doing their job right now.
You could come up with that theory, and that's fine. Kevin Stefanski still has two NFL Coach of the Year honors on his shelf. And Kevin Stefanski has had, in one of those seasons, a short deck of cards. There's no question about that. The fact that they made the playoffs in 2023 was a pretty incredible accomplishment when you consider who was playing the quarterback position in the final tier of the regular season. But they're 4-19. You cannot just, in their last 23 games.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot justify bringing, I don't care. It's not about the Browns. It's like, this is Cleveland Browns aside. We have reached Hugh Jackson levels here this season. And you all know what class that is. You can't justify bringing them back. You can't. You just can't do it. How do you expect people to sit down and watch that?
It'd be really tough. But if the guy in charge, if Haslam thinks they're performing the task that they were asked to do, and because he knows that, you can't publicly put out and say, we're going to just stink up the joint. But he knows whether or not they're doing their job. Then if they were given the mulligan that Albert Breer suggests that they were given for Deshaun Watson, you can make an argument in the eyes of Jimmy Haslam. They are, in fact, performing the job that they're intended to do.
Yes, but I could still go into the office place and say, you've got a grace period. You've got a mulligan. And I could still be looking over my shoulder.
I would be if I were them.
What? Yeah, absolutely. They have to be. They have to be. And I think you could tell. Would you guys not agree for the first time that these two are not on the same page? The Flacco thing signaled it. When has Kevin ever broken a little bit? He never breaks. He always gets the criticism that he doesn't break. It was clear as day that him and that they, he said it caught us by surprise. The infighting's begun. Todd Haley thought he was going to get a step up and be the interim. He's shown the door. He was shown the door. Nice plan, buddy. It's not going to work. You know, I could be told I have a mulligan. I could. But in this profession, in this league, the messaging and the quotes and, oh, wow, everybody. Jimmy Haslam might not have been telling the truth. Shocker. Shocker.
John, you're a gentleman. About 25 seconds, though. Is the offense fixable this year?
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
No, it's not. This because the profile of it's just not good enough. I mean, they can't run the ball consistently. They can't throw the ball. I think there's your 15 seconds. I did it in 15 seconds. Like, I mean, I kind of want to see Shador at this point because I'm so tired. I'm tired of hearing about it, guys. Like, I want to see it. But, like, can I definitively then say whether he's great or not? Not with the personnel around him. That's what's saddest about this whole thing.
John, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Can't wait to talk to you next week.
It can only get sunnier. It really can only get sunnier.
You know, not this time of the year.
Yeah, I was going to say, we are going into like winter time.
Wrong time of the year for that.
Kind of a rough thing to say, John, if you don't live in Northeast Ohio anymore.
It gets darker.
Thanks, guys. I'm going to go watch The Shining.
All right, John Fanta there. I think I'm going to leave that where it is. John Fanta there on the fan hotline, NBC Sports. We got to react to what he had to say about the Browns and the trick question for the Cleveland Browns in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We do have Albert Breer coming up in about 40 minutes, and I don't think I'm where John is. Like, this is bad, and there's really no defending how bad the offense has been. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I'm not cratering the way it feels like I think most people are.
I might be cratering. Yeah,
I might be. I think it's going to be this Miami game.
Well, so the Miami game is going to be fun because they have the worst run defense in the NFL.
Yes.
And so you're going to see, it's going to be a Quinshon game. I think the part that might infuriate people, though, is if he treats Quinshon the way he treated like Nick Chubb, where he caps him at 20 carries.
Yeah.
Where he's just running all over him and you're converting first downs and the offense looks good. And then he hits that 20-yard carry mark and it's like, stop sign. That will make a lot of people like myself pretty irate.
I do think that's why this game is so important to them getting the offense going. It's because this is, although Miami can score maybe a little bit quicker than you can, because even though they don't have Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle's still a very good football player, and that offense is still just a better offense, despite never really becoming the offense you thought it would be that after that first year with Tua and Mike McDaniel together. But they might be able to score quicker unless you can play your game. Like, I actually disagree with John. The offense is salvageable. I don't know it's salvageable with Dylan Gabriel, but that's TBD. In fairness, I don't know it's salvageable with Shador Sanders either. But the formula can work. And the formula is Quinshon Judkins carries the ball 20 more times per game.
Mm-hmm.
And based off that, you're able to enact the play action, which is going to take some of the pressure off your offensive line and off your quarterback, and make enough plays down the field to score enough points to win games.
Well, this is why matchups matter so much in the NFL. And like for this upcoming week, the matchup is perfect for getting Stefanski in the good graces of the fan base, because his offense will look much better this week than it did last week.
Yeah, there's no, and by the way, I was going to say there's no excuse not to score 17 points. There's no there to finally crack the 20 point threshold, which feels Herculean for this team.
Yeah, which
it
is
shouldn't
wild.
Be.
No, it shouldn't be.
So I think this is, to me, I'm not ready to crater. If you lose to Miami and you look bad, I'll be cratering on Monday. Where Ken was, I think, yesterday, where I think a majority of Browns fans were yesterday, that'll be me next Monday. I'm not actually that worried. I think this is going to be a relatively competitive game between Tua Tagovailoa and Timu Tua. But I think when it comes to, you know, fixing the offense, is it fixable? Fixable is like, it is a little bit of a sliding scale, but the plan that they put in, which is we're going to focus on the run game. That's going to, because we're also, by the way, better run blockers than we are pass blockers. Mm-hmm. And based off a power run game, we're then going to deliver enough passing to get in the end zone and chalk up enough points to be really competitive. That is more than attainable. Like, I get a little frustrated when I hear people say the offense isn't fixable. It's like they're never going to score 30 points a game. 20 points a game. Which should be like the bare minimum expectation in the NFL. That is well within the range of this team, whether it's Dylan or Shador, or even if they, not Bailey Zappe, that guy stink on crap, but mm-hmm. I meant like even if Joe Flacco was still here. That should still be attainable, and if it's not, that's not just about talent. Talent, like, yes, talent matters in the NFL, all right? And the talent here will stop you from being a top 15 offense. Top 28 is not that hard.
Top 28.
Top 25 is not that hard. Top 20 really isn't that unattainable if you have an identity. And this is where you mentioned it with Kevin Stefanski. This is where it's time for Kevin to lock in. Kevin has scoffed before, and I understand why, but Kevin has scoffed before at the idea that the Browns need an identity. When you need an identity, when an offense benefits from locking into a specific identity, that is a code word for we don't have enough talent to win a lot of different ways. That is textbook what this offense is. Yeah?
Yeah, and this is your week. This is a Miami's defense gives up points in bunches. The last three games, 400 total yards given up to the Jets, 418 yards given up to the Panthers. Chargers got 400 yards as well because the Chargers are a good offense. But think about that. The Jets and the Panthers put up 400 yards of total offense on this Dolphins defense. They're not good, and you can run all over them. You can run on them for days. Rico Dowdle, he might still be running against them.
I was a little frustrated. I didn't hear Kevin Stefanski talk about the offense yesterday and why they bailed on the run. And he said, we were down two scores.
We're down two scores, yeah.
And
that
that's
was what he
why.
Used. Yeah.
And yet you went into the fourth quarter not down two scores.
Well, you were down 9-3 at the half.
Yes.
I mean, let's be honest. They ran, again, 15 times in the first 35 plays that they had for the first three drives of the game, and then they just kind of hit the eject button. But there was a lot about what the Steelers' defense was trying to do, that they were trying to dare Dylan Gabriel to actually win with his arm. I think Stefanski just thought he could.
Yeah.
It was obvious to everyone watching that he couldn't, but I think he just had a belief in Dylan Gabriel that we just don't have. And for this game, I don't think he'll share that same belief, because the game plan will be obvious and it'll be simple. You get to run the ball like crazy against the Dolphins, and I think he's going to be excited to do that.
Normally, I'd call something like this an IQ test. I don't worry about Kevin's IQ. This is an ego test. This is, can Kevin Stefanski win a game the only way this offense can win? And it is riding. This whole thing is built around Quinshon. Maybe that wasn't the intent. I said Quinshon like Christopher Walken.
Did say
and Quinshon Judkins,
yeah.
But like,
which is funny because everyone messes up
the Judkins
part of it.
Yeah, and I said,
I still don't know why that happens. I don't know where they get the Judkins from. I don't understand.
Any name that can be butchered will be butchered in sports talk and by sports fans.
Well,
and by Twitter.
At least like Shador, when people say his name wrong.
No, that annoys me. You know,
very annoying. But at least I kind of see, if you've never listened to any broadcast ever, how you would have potentially gotten there. I'm not giving him a pass here, but but the Judkins thing is just renaming him.
Yeah, it's Judkins. There's nothing hidden there. No apostrophes. No tildes.
It's not
nothing.
It's not even long. It's just there in an easy name.
But no, I mean I don't know if the intent was to just build specifically around Quinshon Judkins. Now it's in my head.
Yeah.
But that is where you are. And you can't build around Jerry Jeudy. You can't really build it around David Njoku, and you certainly can't build around Harold Fannin Jr. yet. The offensive line is in tatters. Like, your one path to taking, because what I think, I now do think, I continue to use this phrase this week, because we've been talking about compound interest off the air. It is compounding right now. Like, the pressure and the lack of belief, it's compounding to a point that it's making it harder to be on the offense. That's why this game represents the opportunity to get it right, because I don't think you need a huge amount of sample size to get these guys feeling good and just getting the arrow pointing north.
Well, and we're just as simple. We're five games in, and he looks like the best offensive player we have. I mean, if you've seen some of his yards after contact numbers, they're in Bijan Robinson territory. They're in Montgomery territory. They're in like some really good players' territory. I think it's like 2.3 yards after contact. It's incredible what he's able to pull off.
And if you can establish Quinshon Judkins, maybe then you can establish your home run hitters in either Jerome Ford or Dylan Sampson to make the kind of big plays off of his success that you need. Because you don't just need Quinshon Judkins to be really good. You also need those guys to be able to hit some home runs as well. 216-474-0092. It's a two-parter, a dreaded two-parter. Why does the offense suck? And is it fixable? I think it is. I think we're being prisoner of the moment if we say it isn't. It's just, is Kevin Stefanski going to do what's necessary? The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.